Did you ever hear about the guy who couldn't figure out why his credit score was so low? Every time collectors called, they said his payments were outstanding. Hi, I'm Rob West. Having a good credit score is no joke. It keeps your money in your pocket by getting lower interest rates. I'll talk about ways you can boost your score first today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. Call that number 24/7, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We've given you some ideas in the past for raising your credit score, and I'll go over some of them again, plus give you some new ones. Now, I should say right at the start that some of these aren't recommended, but I'll mention them because it'll help you understand how your credit score is determined. The first way to boost your score is to have a strategy for paying off your balances. Ideally, you pay them off in full every month. But if you can't do that, make sure you never use more than 30% of your available credit on any revolving account like a credit card. Once you go over 30%, your score begins to fall. So, if you're over that figure on a card, take steps to get below it quickly. You want to make your payment before the issuer reports to the credit bureaus each month. You can Google to find out when that is. For example, Discover reports to all three credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, 3 days after your closing statement for the month. An easy way to make sure your payment is recorded, make two or more payments throughout the month. Keeping your balances below 30% is the second most important factor making up your credit score, right after making your payments on time. And that's the next way to boost your score, by never making a late payment. If you pay late a single time, it can wipe out any gain you might make elsewhere. If you're ever more than 30 days late, call the creditor immediately and explain your situation. Ask if they'll delay reporting the late payment. They might, but there's no guarantee. Then make the payment as soon as possible. Here's another one we've talked about. Dispute any errors on your credit report. Get all three reports for free at annualcreditreport.com. If you see an error, you can dispute it at the appropriate credit bureau. Now, this might seem strange at first, but the lower your credit score, the more it will rise when you take any of these steps. And I mention that because the next strategy to improve your score involves collection agencies. If you have an account that's gone to collections, your score has probably suffered significantly and will continue to be affected for 7 years. So be encouraged that dealing with collectors properly can have a big impact on your score. Obviously, if an account has gone to collections, you need to pay it off as quickly as possible. Call the collection agency and give them a plan for paying it in full or making regular and faithful monthly payments. When you've paid off the account, ask the collection agency if they'll stop reporting it to the credit bureaus. If they agree to, and that's a big if, it will greatly improve your score. Of course, if the collection action is in error, you need to dispute it immediately at all three credit bureaus. Now, the next few ways to boost your credit score are aimed at folks who have no or very little credit history. You can become an authorized user on someone else's credit card. For example, a parent can sign up online with the issuer to make a child an authorized user on a card. The child then gets the benefit of the parent's longer credit history and good payment record. But you can also get a secured credit card. You would put a deposit of, say, $500 on the card, and you can then use the card up to that limit. But don't. Instead, make one small regular purchase each month and pay off the balance in full. Your credit score will improve month by month. You can also boost your credit score by making your rent and utility payments on time. Landlords and utilities don't usually report to the credit bureaus, but you can subscribe with a rent reporting service to have it done. Now, here are a couple of strategies that we don't recommend. First, you can raise your credit score by getting an increase in your available credit from your card issuer. That would improve your score because it lowers your credit utilization, which makes up 30% of your score. A better way to achieve the same thing is to simply pay down your balances. You could also add different kinds of accounts. For example, if you don't have a car loan, if you finance a car, your score will increase because you have a greater credit mix, which makes up another 10% of your score. But it's just not wise to take on debt to improve your score, so don't. All right, so those are a couple of bad ways to improve your score and a lot of good ones. All right, your calls are next. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Today's issues.
I wouldn't be surprised, quite frankly, if you didn't have a self-confession in the next few hours, because the person that says, yes, I leaked it, will become a celebrity among the pro-abortion lefties, and they will be lauded and, you know, brought to speak at parades and all kinds of things of that
nature. Probably get a show on MSNBC.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If hiding God's Word in your heart is so important, why do so many of us fail at it? Well, according to Aaron House, somebody who's memorized the entire New Testament, it's because most of us go about it all wrong. We'll find out how you could effectively memorize Scripture. I'm Charles Morris. Join me this week in our series on Haven Today.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at AFR.net.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. What's on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, we'll build on where we began today, talking about credit scores and a few other credit-related topics, situations where you don't want to use credit. I'll cover those, and I'll respond to a couple of emails, one around whether or not it makes sense to close unused credit cards. How will that affect your credit score? Well, I'll weigh in on that a little later in the broadcast. Also today, we see in God's Word this idea of being rich toward God. It comes in the parable of the rich fool. Well, what does that mean as it relates to handling our money? I'll weigh in on that as well. Plus your questions, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today in Michigan. Katie, you're first on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My husband and I are in our late 30s. We have five children, and we owe about $53,000 on our home. We also have a single wide that's about a half hour from our home that we're renting out. The tenant is not reliable. He doesn't pay all the time on time. And so I was just wondering what your thoughts were, if you think we should try to sell that. We're pretty much debt-free other than our home right now.
Yeah. And for the rental, Katie, is that paid off?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, I love that idea because with a rental property, I'd love to see folks have at least 50% equity, but even better that it's paid off because if you had a reliable tenant, you could have some nice income coming in there where you could set money aside to keep it improved and obviously cover the expenses related to it, but then you know, have some nice cash flow in addition to that. Do you all want to be landlords? You know, if this situation were better, is this something you'd like to continue to do? Or would you kind of prefer just to be out from under this?
We kind of prefer to be out from under it. We have talked about maybe Airbnb at some point in time, but obviously yeah. Not with this property. And we got a few years ago before we do something like that.
All right. And the lease agreement that you have with the current renter that's not paying on a timely basis, how long does that continue?
I actually can't give you that. My husband's more worked with that, so I'm not exactly sure.
Sure. Well, it's a great time to be a seller. So even though the market is cooling a bit, it's still considered a seller's market primarily because of the lack of inventory in this country related to housing. Obviously, there are some things working against us, a softening economy, interest rates that have more than doubled, at least mortgage interest rates. And so that obviously has caused what was a red hot seller's market to be more of a moderate seller's market. But still, property values are significantly elevated. So I think this would be a great time. Obviously, you want to be God honoring in how you approach this. You know, whenever we're dealing with a tenant who's not paying on a timely basis, we want to be calm and objective. It's important to keep written records of everything. I would say, you know, really try to work with this individual with an honest conversation about the reality of the situation. But I would just go ahead and give ample notice that you plan to sell the property. Obviously, you're going to be bound by the terms of the lease agreement, unless, you know, based on the fact that there's been non-payment, that there's a triggering event there that could involve, you know, you asking this person to leave. So I would obviously do that first and, you know, ask this person to leave on their own accord. At some point, you may have to start an eviction process if it got to that point. Hopefully it doesn't. But I think it's time to perhaps consider selling it, which means going ahead and giving notice, reviewing the lease documents. I'm sure your husband's well aware of the parameters there. But it makes sense to me, Katie, that you all would go ahead and pull your equity out of this, go ahead and lock in the gain that you have. Hopefully there is some, probably is, if you've owned it for any length of time. And then be thoughtful about how you want to redeploy these dollars, this capital, whether it's into a property that could ultimately be an Airbnb down the road, or if you want to put it in the stock market. You know, we're obviously significantly below recent highs from earlier in the year. And so this could be a time on a more passive investment basis for you to put this money to work. But I think the primary objective right now is to make that decision that, yes, we want to sell, and then begin that process based on the lease parameters.
Okay, thank you so much. What about if we were to sell it and put it towards our home to pay off? Would you recommend that?
I like that a lot. Do you all have what I would call an emergency fund separate from this asset of at least 3 to 6 months expenses?
Not quite up to the six months, but we definitely have an emergency fund.
Okay, and do you have some margin apart from this rental income when he pays on a timely basis? Do you have some margin in your budget where you'd have a little bit left over each month?
Yes, we can definitely do that, yeah.
Okay, so you could actually continue to build that. And then do you consider yourself to be on track for retirement? Are you all putting something away on a systematic basis toward the long term?
Yes, my husband does, yes.
Okay. I would love to see that goal be 10 to 15% of your income going toward retirement. But if you've got all of that in place, you've got your emergency fund, you've at least got 3 months, you're on your way to six, you're funding the long term, then I would say, yeah, if you are able to pull some equity out of this and you could just go ahead and pay off that $53,000 that's remaining on your primary residence, that'll get you completely unencumbered, ultimate flexibility, keep your lifestyle as lean as possible. And then then without that mortgage payment, you all could continue to save even more to add to whatever's left after the sale and then perhaps be ready to buy your next property. But I can tell you, Katie, I've never gotten a call from somebody that paid off their house that regretted it. It just doesn't happen.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. God bless you. And we appreciate you checking in with us today. Take care. Excuse me. Let's head to Marilyn. Beverly, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have a banking problem. I have two banks, a saving accounts and checking, and I have a pension that is deposited in bank. I'll call it number one.
Okay.
And so how do you get out of bank number two? I have several thousand in there. And
yes.
with a little checking account, too.
Sure. The one that you're going to keep that your pension is deposited into, is that one that's convenient for you? And
yes,
do you know what the fee
is? It's been there for, 25 years since
okay.
my husband.
And are you familiar with the fee schedule? I just want to make sure that it's not the one that you're spending a lot more money annually to keep open.
I don't know.
Well, I would just check and see what they're charging you on a monthly basis to have that account active, because it could be that if that's one you've had for a long time, there could be more fees than you even realize. And so that would be something I'd be talking to them about. However, I like the idea of you consolidating things, Beverly, into one account. So if once you decide which one you're keeping, which it sounds like it's probably going to be the one with the pension, then I think the first thing to do is just look for any automatic deposits or debits that are coming out of that bank, anything you have that's electronically set up to be paid out of that account on a systematic basis, bill paying service or any automatic debits or any other deposits that you have coming in. Do you have either of those?
I have some automatic bills paid from the one.
Okay. Is it the one you're closing or the other one?
No, the pension one. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so then if you don't have any automatic deposits or debits coming from that other account, then you could just give them a call and tell them you want to close the account, and they'll do that. They may require you to come in person, but you may just drive down there if that's an option and get that account closed. But I like that idea. It'll consolidate things. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The level of hostility in our country towards Christians seems to be growing with each passing day. Yet now is not the time to back down. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches how to be salt and light in a culture that's becoming increasingly opposed to Christian values. Don't miss the series called America and the Bible, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We have a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones to Louisiana. Lisa, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, it's good to be with you this morning.
Great to have you.
Basically, why I'm calling is trying to figure out how to invest some of our money. I retired at 56. My husband is semi-retired. We have like $5,000 in income coming in a month off of our retirement. We have about $500 in our property. Our house is paid off, and about $400,000 liquid assets. You know, we've always lived within our means. When we first got married, we were so far in debt, so we were never doing that again.
Yes.
But we had to pull out stuff out of the stock market because it's doing so bad, just trying to figure out where to invest the cash that we do have.
Yes. Very good. So I love what you've just described here, Lisa, because you all have lived within your means. You learned that lesson early. That's great. It sounds like you're completely debt-free. You've got $5,000 a month in income. You own your home, and you've got this $400,000 in liquid investable assets. You're not pulling anything out of that $400,000 that's a part of the $5,000 in income, correct?
No, and even like medical insurance, my husband has it through the VA, and mine was included with my retirement, so I'm not even paying that.
Very good. So really, unless there's something unforeseen, you don't even plan to touch the $400,000 for any reason?
I hope not.
Okay, very good. Well, the good news is that, you know, you're really in a strong financial position, and so you can manage this money in such a way that you can take as little risk as possible with a desire to grow it, because with the effects of inflation, and we're experiencing now more than ever, you're losing purchasing power unless this money is working for you. Now, there's not a need to be overly aggressive with this, especially because your bills are covered and you all are in such a strong position, but to be able to grow it for the future, if the Lord tarries and you all are in good health, you want this money to last, you know, for the next several decades, and then you have something to either give to ministry or charity or pass on to heirs. Do you want to, you and your husband, manage this money yourselves, Lisa, or would you like to have an investment advisor?
We usually manage it ourselves.
Okay. All right. And what have you done historically, and how is this positioned today?
Like I said, we had some invested in the stock market. I will tell you, not a whole lot. Basically, our idea was live on one person's salary rather than two. Yeah. So we saved that way. And, you know, we amortized when we bought our house. We didn't buy the most expensive house they approved us for.
Sure.
You know, and we'd amortize, get it paid off, and then move to a bigger house. So, you know, we've been able to do that. I mean, like the house we're in right now, we had paid off within about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I guess the only thing I'm thinking is this is a significant sum of money, and I'd love for you to consider finding an advisor that could, you know, take responsibility for managing this for you according to your goals and objectives, you know, rather than putting this on autopilot or trying to, you know, find your way through it, just given the amount of money we're talking about, I think that makes some sense, seeking some wise counsel. But if you'd rather do it yourself, and you certainly can, I think, you know, the big idea here would be to determine what's the right diversification and how do you want to allocate the assets between stocks and bonds and perhaps an allocation toward precious metals, that type of thing. And I would say typically in this season of life, you would probably want to have, you know, no more than 30% of this allocated to stocks. And even then, it would probably be high quality dividend paying stocks, something that will provide a little bit of a growth component to this, especially now with the market, you know, down more than 20% from its recent highs. Could there be more downside? Yes, but it will recover well before the economy recovers, even if we are in a recession. And many folks think there's a chance because of the strong labor market we'll avoid recession altogether. But regardless, there's an opportunity for you to be invested in a way that gives this portfolio into the future some growth component where, again, you don't have to touch it, but it could provide a little bit more return than you might get in a straight fixed income portfolio. And then with the balance, it's probably 60 or 70%, I'd be looking toward fixed income type investments. We'd be talking about government securities and corporate bonds. And, you know, you could use mutual funds or you could do individual bonds. But that type of portfolio would make some sense. So you've got a growth component, fairly stable, with a focus on income and, more importantly, capital preservation. So that would be what I would be looking to do. But again, I would give some real careful consideration to whether or not you want somebody walking alongside you that has some professional expertise to help you make these decisions. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, I may call one of y'all advisors just to, you know, feel them out and see.
Sure.
Just
yeah.
So I don't have to worry so much about it. You know,
yes.
But for those people out here, they're trying to figure out how to save money. My son went to school with almost brand new looking pants that all came from a Goodwill, you know?
Yes.
Because I bought ahead, you know, I bought larger sizes and stuff. So that's how we managed to get where we are today.
Well, that's great advice, Lisa. And I'll tell you, living below your means is the key to being able to arrive at retirement the way you and your husband have, where you've lived modestly, you've been able to provide for your family, but you have now meaningful assets, you've got income, you've got no debt, and it allows you to be free to serve the Lord in whatever way he leads you. And so it sounds like you're on the right track. You could actually do this show for me because you all have made a lot of great decisions. I appreciate you calling today. If you want to find two or three certified Kingdom advisors to interview, just head to our website, moneywise.org, click find a CKA. And Lisa, thank you for your call today. We appreciate it very much. Well, folks, we're going to pause for a quick break. When we come back, a lot more of your questions. We'll be talking to Adela in Texas and Tammy in Florida, and perhaps you as well. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Also, some emails. We had an email recently. If someone wants to know, they've got 6 credit cards. They only use one. Should they close 5 of them? How will that affect their credit score? I'll weigh in on that and much more. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they're forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. Looks like we have one line open, 800-525-7000. What's on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. Hey, let's head right back to the phones. To North Carolina we go. Tessa, I understand you have a question about your college savings plan. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. This is my first time getting on radio.
That's okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can.
Okay, great. I'm so glad I got you. So I am, invested with Victory Capital for my two children. I have one that's under 2 years old, and I have one that's 8 years old. And when I first started off, it was we put in over $6,000 for the eight-year-old. And we started off at a very, no, not very, moderately aggressive. And for the under two-year-old, we did very aggressive, and we start off with putting over $3,000 in there. Well, now we also just opened this up like late last year. So anyway, okay. Now we have less than, with all that combined, we have like $7,200. So we've lost a whole lot of money, and I know that you can lose and gain. But I'm like, should I take all of this money out? Because I don't want to continue to lose my baby's money.
Yeah.
529. And I don't want to lose their money, but I also want to see growth.
Yes, that makes sense. You said you have all in at this point, $7,200. What's the total of the contributions you put in? Was it $9,000?
Starting off total, I would say, yeah, over $9,000 we started off. And now it's at around $7,200.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're down about 20%, which is consistent with where the market is, especially with this being in an aggressive or a moderately aggressive account, which is appropriate given how young the kids are. So it's just a function of, you know, the last decade and more than that, Tessa, the market was, you know, going straight up essentially in a bull market. And we saw incredible growth. And it just so happened that at around the time that you started these accounts, the market was rolling over. We were, because of the pandemic and a whole host of other issues, moving from a bull market to a bear market, and the economy was slowing down. And as a result of that, we've seen the market decline more than 20% from its recent highs, which is almost exactly what you're down. Now is not the time to sell, in my view. The good news is the kids are young. You've got time on your side. These accounts will recover. In fact, any additional contributions make a lot of sense right now, because as you invest in the same investments with the same, you know, with the same amount of money, you'd be buying a lot more shares because everything is on sale, essentially, with the market being down. So as hard as it is to look at those statements and see those, what I'll call paper losses, those unrealized losses in that 529, I still think the 529 is the best way to save for college. You're going to get essentially tax-free growth as long as you're using it for qualified educational expenses. Don't be discouraged through this season. It could be down even more over the balance of this year, but it will recover and should recover in plenty of time for those kids to be able to realize some gains. The only thing you could do if you wanted to look at whether or not this was the very best 529 for you, you don't have to use the 529 for your state. There, in some cases, are benefits to doing that if you have a state income tax, because you could get a state tax deduction. But oftentimes, other states have better performing investments. And so one thing you may want to do, Tessa, is go to the website savingforcollege.com. That's savingforcollege.com. And you could compare the performance of the investments in the 529 you have to all of the other states that you could be participating in, just to see if there might be a better 529 where you could move it from one to the other. But the bottom line is the kind of unrealized losses you've experienced don't surprise me. They don't concern me. It really is just a function of the market dynamics right now and the timing on when you started this thing. So if it were up to me, I wouldn't pull out. I'd stay the course and I'd continue contributing between now and when your kids go off to school.
Okay, so even though I might lose money as I continue to contribute,
yes.
Even though I might lose money, because eventually it's going to get better.
That's right, and you need to take a long-term perspective, which is not a quarter or even a year. It's 5 or 10 years down the road or more in the case of your kids.
Okay, thanks so much, because I definitely was thinking about doing that. I said, no, I'm going to speak to someone who's biblically sound and to get some better advice on how I should move forward. Because when my husband asked me, because he left it in charge with me,
sure.
He asked me, how is it doing? I want to have something good to say to him. So,
yeah, just tell him, listen, the market is down quite a bit right now. Our account's down with it, but we're not taking a short-term view. We're taking a long-term view. Hey, Tessa, thanks for connecting with us today. God bless you. Let's head to Florida. Tammy, you've been very patient. How can I help you?
Hi. My question is this, and I know people have asked the same question before. So I have like $17,000 in my savings account, and I had about $17,000 in the Acorns account, and it just keeps going down, which I know that's, I'm buying while it's low. But my question is, should I just stop the Acorns account and just keep putting it in my savings account? So I was putting $300 a week in Acorns, but then it was just going negative, negative, negative. So now I'm putting like $150 a week in Acorns, and then the rest I'm just putting it into my savings account.
Sure.
But it's like my savings account's going up and my Acorns is going down. So
Let me ask you this, Tammy, how long have you had that Acorns account?
Maybe like 2.5 years.
Okay.
So it's got like 17,000 right now.
All right. And had it been doing quite well until this year?
Yeah, like it told me once it hit 16,000, I would start seeing like them add to it. Add some, and then like, because it shows you the longer you leave it in, the more they add. So it was just getting to the point where they should have been adding, and then it just keeps going down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it really is just a function, as I said to the last caller, in the market environment right now. And even though it's counterproductive, Tammy, I think now is an opportunity for you to continue to be systematic in your investments, whether it's Acorns or a robo-advisor like Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Having a low-cost, highly diversified portfolio using an indexed approach makes a lot of sense. If it is going to be your primary investment vehicle, though, I think there are better options than Acorns. Their fees tend to be a little high. Is this really your retirement savings account, or do you have something else at work?
No, I own my own business. So that's why I was like, man, I've got to start something.
Yeah.
So I just started it, like I said, about 2.5 years ago, and it seems like it would have been great. And then, like I said, I also have savings and I make good money, but I was like, man, why is this money just sitting in my bank? I should, start investing it.
Sure, sure.
And then, of course, that was right before the crash. So now I'm like, should I just put it all in my savings? I mean, I don't need it should.
Yeah.
You know, I
well,
think
I think this is the time actually to be focused on really continuing to invest. You know, this you don't want to invest when the market's going straight up. We do because we want to be systematic in our investing. But now's an even better time to be diligent in your investing. And you've got to think about this is 20-year money. And so we're not worried about what's happening in a quarter or 6 months or a year. So I'd be looking to put as much as you can away over time. I've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Harrington, founder of the pro-life group Created Equal and host of Activist Radio, The Mark Harrington Show. Created Equal is all about saving the lives of unborn children. Each week, I cover the latest pro-life news and feature interviews with unsung heroes from across the nation who are making a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 for The Mark Harrington Show here on American Family Radio and discover how you, too, can help protect the lives of the most innocent among us.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Hey, let's take an email. This one comes from Christy. It says, I have 6 credit cards, but I only use one of them. Should I close the other 5? Will that hurt my credit score? Christy, it's a great question. I would start closing the other 5. I think anytime we can simplify our financial life, that's a good thing. And those are accounts that could be compromised, which means that even though you're not using them, you need to keep tabs on them to make sure that nobody accesses them fraudulently. So beginning to systematically close them makes a lot of sense. Why start closing and not just close them all? Well, I would close no more than 2 to 3 every 6 months because closing these accounts can affect your credit score. And if you're planning in the next 30 to 45 days to seek new credit, you're buying a car or buying a house, refinancing, I would probably hold off for now. But if not, then yeah, go ahead and start closing them. The reason that it does affect your credit score temporarily and modestly is when you close those accounts, number one, that good credit history comes out of the mix and your credit history is 10% of your credit score. Also, the fact that your credit utilization will change. So if you're carrying a balance on the active account that you have and you close one of those unused cards, well, that limit, let's say it was $10,000 that was a part of your total available credit, is now out of the equation. So the balance you're carrying is now a higher percentage of the total credit you have available. And if that tips above 30%, well, that's going to start to pull your score down pretty significantly. So just be aware of that. Make sure you understand this dynamic of credit utilization. But if you're paying off your balances every month, which I would encourage you to do, then let's go ahead and start closing those down 2 to 3 every 6 months, as long as you're not going to be out seeking new credit in the near term. Thanks for your email, Christy. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do that at questions@moneywise.org. All right, let's head to Texas. Adela, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Adela, are you with us?
I am. Hi.
Okay, great. Hi.
So I was awarded a 401k in the settlement.
I can't add to the 401k, so I'm watching it just dwindle down. And so my question is, should I go to another, you know, take all of that money out and put it in like TD Ameritrade or something like that, some other investment? I don't want to use the money. I just want to, I want to make it stop going away and be able to contribute to it. So should I bite the bullet, pay the taxes, or just continue?
Tell me about this 401k that you have, and why can't you contribute to it?
Because I'm no longer with that company.
Ah, got it. Okay, and are you with a new employer?
No.
Okay.
I'm not at a place where I have anything through employment that I can contribute.
Okay, very good. I like the idea, once you separate from your employer, of rolling it out, not withdrawing it and creating a large taxable event, but rolling it to an IRA, because especially if you don't need the money, keeping it in that tax-deferred environment makes a lot of sense. But the benefit of the IRA is you'll have complete flexibility in terms of the investments that you choose. So inside the 401k, you're limited to the investment options inside the plan. Once it gets to an IRA, you can invest in any stock, bond, or mutual fund you want. In fact, through a self-directed IRA, you could even invest in precious metals and real estate. So you really have unlimited choices, and you can determine whether you do that yourself or whether you hire somebody to manage that for you. How much is in that 401k, if you don't mind me asking?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, that's fine. So I think that really is the next best option, but give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I tried to do that. I tried to roll it over, and I was told that it was too late past the grace period to do that, that I'd still have to pay taxes on it.
No, that doesn't make sense. At any point, you can roll a 401k out to an IRA. So what you would do is you'd open an IRA at whatever custodian you want this with. I think you mentioned TD Ameritrade, or it could be Schwab or Fidelity, Vanguard. Once you open that IRA, you'd actually complete the paperwork both with the plan administrator and the IRA, and they should just mail a check to your new custodian. It'll never come to you. It'll go straight to the custodian and be deposited as cash into the account. So there is no reason why you can't make a qualified rollover into an IRA from a 401k.
Okay, because they told me when I called the company, they said, well, you have a 90-day grace period to do that. And she said, you're well beyond that 90-day grace period.
Yeah, that's not right. You can leave that there as long as you want, and at any point you can roll that out to a 401k. So you just need to tell them you want the rollover paperwork to begin the process of rolling that to an IRA, but you'll need to have that IRA open before you do that so you can put in the information of the custodian, the ACH routing number, and the account number of your IRA.
Having to pay taxes on it.
That's correct. That's a non-taxable event.
Oh, yay. Well, thank you.
You are welcome, Adela. Listen, all the best to you, and we appreciate you calling today. Let's head to Virginia. Gladys, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, I would like to set up an account for my grandchildren. My grandchildren's age is 10, 6.5, 6.5, and 4.
Okay.
So where do you think I should, what should I do?
Yeah, the first question to answer, Gladys, is really how you want the money to be used and who you want to be in control of it. Is this money, for instance, that you would like to have earmarked specifically for college, or would you like it to be able to be used more widely?
For college.
Okay. So if you're going to save it for college, my favorite tool for doing that is what's called a 529 college savings plan. It comes from the IRS tax code 529. And basically what happens, Gladys, is you can open the account. It'll be for the benefit of each child. And then you could set up an automatic transfer either one time or on an ongoing basis into that account. When it gets into the account, it'll automatically be invested for you. And as it grows over time, it'll be available to be used for college. It can be used up to $10,000 for even secondary, elementary and secondary private education, but certainly for college, any qualified educational expenses. And the money that has grown in the investments would be able to be used tax-free as long as it's used for qualified educational expenses. It could also be pulled out on a pro rata basis for any scholarships or grants that are awarded to each child. And to determine the best 529 plan, I would go, if you're comfortable using the internet, I'd go to savingforcollege.com. And you could put in the names of the kids and how much you want to contribute, and it'll actually recommend which state's 529 college savings plan to use based on whether or not you'll get a state tax deduction and the performance of those particular 529 plans. You can open one for each child, and if that particular child doesn't use it, as I said, you can take it out for scholarships and grants. You can also transfer it to another child if they don't need it, the particular child that it was earmarked for. So that would be, I think, the very best option for you. And in terms of the investments, it's pretty hands-off, because once you determine the age of the child, you can select one of the investments that automatically gets more conservative as they get closer to college age. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's good. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So you'd head to savingforcollege.com, and I think that'll give you everything you need. And we appreciate your call today, Gladys, very, very much. You know, folks, as we think about what it looks like to live a God-honoring lifestyle, there's something we read in Luke 12:15, the parable of the rich fool. And the Bible talks about being rich, but it's a different kind of rich. Listen to what it says in Luke 12. It says, Jesus warns against greed and says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then Jesus tells a parable about a rich man who builds a bigger and bigger barns to store his crops and his possessions. And the rich man is pretty satisfied and says to himself in verse 19, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And he finishes the story with this warning. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself and is not rich toward God. So what does that mean? How can we be rich toward God? Well, it's a really interesting idea when we think about what it means to be rich toward God. It really is using our money in such a way to show that God, not money, is our treasure. So we're doing things like being generous, giving to God's kingdom as he leads us, handling our money with integrity, being honest in all of our dealings, paying our obligations on time, teaching our kids God's financial principles, keeping our priorities straight, realizing money is not the goal, godly character is, and being grateful for our blessings. Our God is a good father, and he's given us so much, including the eternal benefits of salvation in Christ. So when we give up being rich toward ourselves and become rich toward God, well, we receive God's encouragement, love, wisdom, and understanding. That's my prayer for you today, that you would reap the spiritual benefits of being rich toward God. Hey, it's been so much fun being along with you today, answering your questions, mining the scriptures, and applying them to your decisions and choices as a steward of God's resources. That's what we are. He's the owner. We're the manager. Money, then, is the tool to accomplish his purposes. Let me say thank you to my team today, Mr. Robert Sutherland, providing some great research today, Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer, and Pat Montague handling our phones today. So delighted for your calls and your questions. Grateful to be along with you here on American Family Radio each morning. We're going to come back and do it all over tomorrow. I hope you'll join us then, and we'll look for you. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.